Hello and welcome to the Intuitive Femme Network podcast. We are so blessed to have Julie here with us as our special guest. She's going to give us some really, really helpful insights on business leadership, making sure that we are operating our businesses from a feminine energy and perspective to prevent burnout. Julie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super excited to have this interview with you and to do this and to be a guest on your show. I love it. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
So just a little bit about me. I have a background in the automotive industry. So I worked in that industry for 7.5 years. Basically, the degree that I have, it's organizational leadership and supervision and a concentration in manufacturing. So it just was kind of like a plug and play for life, right?
Yeah.
High level version, the first company that I've worked at, I was there for a year. I left. It was not a good experience. It was horrendous. I left questioning like the last 5 years of my life and all of the schooling that I've done. I'm thinking, did I do the wrong thing? Like, is this never, like, is leadership like my path and my calling? And yeah. I was like, maybe I'll go back to school for nursing. And then fast forward a few months later, I get another job in the automotive industry. Same thing, like working with production. I was a supervisor and then a production manager, worked in safety and then training. So I have a lot of varied experience within that industry, but really it's all the same. It's all the same whenever you're in the industry. Very male dominated, very like male masculine energy.
Mm-hmm. Divine masculine energy either. Probably more of the toxic masculine energy.
100%. Just because it's like hustle grind. It's that hustle grind culture. It's toxicity. It's, you know, even people that I worked alongside with, like there was one supervisor that we worked together and then I got promoted about 6 months after that. He got promoted. And I remember, so we did reorganization of the whole facility. So some people who had worked for me went to work for him. And I remember people popping into my office all the time, like, hey, guess what? I'm like, what's up? And they're like, your little buddy, that's what they call him because he's a shorter friend. Like, your little buddy over here. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what'd he say?
Nice.
And they tell me, right? And they, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let him talk shit. At the end of the day, like, we all, same team, right? Same logos on the shirt, same team. He can say whatever. It's no big deal. But it's like that it's the toxicity, right? But it's like the stress and the pressure that it puts on people. It changes people. And yeah. Not in a good way in most instances.
Yeah, especially for women, because as women, when we don't feel safe, that's when we're very activated, right? And a lot of times when women don't feel safe, that's when we get more angry. We get more of that cortisol running through our bodies. We're constantly in like defensive mode. It's not good for us. So it sounds like that was a really, really stressful work environment for you. And it was not really highly conducive for you to shine as a woman.
Right. Right. I did really, really well operating in the masculine energy, right?
Sure.
I did really well because like we're so programmed, even as women, to just kind of fall in line to that culture. So I did well within it. But like you said, like burnout is a real thing. I got sick for 6 weeks. So the last 6 weeks that I worked for that company, to the point where like I could barely drink water some days. So I lost a ton of weight really quickly. The doctor didn't know what was wrong. We're doing test after test after test. And I finally am like, okay, well, I guess I'm like doing Whole 30 without intentionally wanting to do Whole 30 because I didn't have another choice. And at the time, I was also like starting to open up more spiritually and into my spiritual development. And I had purchased a course. It was a 30-day program. And I get to like day 6, day 7 every time I went. And I just couldn't get past that. And every time I went into work, whatever I was doing in the course, I'm like, okay, I got this. Like, I'm gonna, you know. Whether it's like you have to check in 4 different times with yourself and reflect on this or on that. It's like first phone call hit and I was off to the races in that masculine energy, right? Just hustle, hustle, hustle. And I would completely forget about whatever it was I was supposed to be like working on or working through that day. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, this just isn't working. And I felt like so deflated. I was like, this is going to be the thing, right? It's going to be the thing.
Yeah.
So then a few months later, they actually launched an in-person event in California. So I was like, okay, I'm signing up. I'm going. Like, I don't know what this is. I don't know who these people are, but I'm going. So I go to the event. This is, you know, at the tail end of my being sick for 6 weeks. And I'm like, well, while I'm out here, I'm going to eat like I would normally eat. I'm going to have some pasta. I'm going to drink a cup of coffee. I'm going to have a glass of wine. And lo and behold, I was just fine. And I'm like, oh. So then it hit me. Right? I'm like, it's the
environment. Yeah.
So now I got to figure out, like, how do I get out of this environment? And what do I do to no longer, like, I don't know what else to do. It's like every opportunity that I was taking to get out of that facility, it was all adjacent work, right? It's with competitors, it's with other companies, sure, manufacturing, right? And the universe just kept shutting door after door.
Yeah.
And like little signs would pop up here and there. And I just wasn't listening. I wasn't. Because I'm like, okay, this is done. Like, I'm just going to keep doing what I've always done.
Yep, that's and how we do it. Like,
the universe is like, no, you're not.
Yep. Yeah. I've heard the saying where the universe will start out, it's like pebbles on a window, right? It's like little pebbles trying to get your attention, and then they become rocks, and then they become bricks. And so you are in a situation where your body and your soul were begging for you to make some changes. And it's interesting to me, because something that I say to my own clients, and I'm sure that you probably say the same kind of things to your clients, is that it's really challenging for us to heal if we're still in the environment that's making us sick. Like, how are we going to be able to move through our healing if we're still being hit with what is causing the pain? It's like picking at a wound. It can't heal until we're out of it.
Yeah. And this is literally what everyone tells you, right? Like, Joe Dispenza, you hear him, he's like, if you're still doing the same thing in the same environment, in the same environment, trying to do this, you know, something different, it's just not going to work. So, which is funny that you bring that up, right? Because it's exactly what I did, is at this retreat. And I didn't even know what to tell people. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, vacation. I don't know what to tell people, right? I'm like, how do you explain to people that you're going to this spiritual retreat, or you're going to this thing that's a bunch of woo-woo stuff, and you are in definitely a field that's not like, oh, my friends were engineers, right? Like my work, like everyone was like in the same culture and in the same paradigm.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I even tell people what this is without them looking at me like I'm crazy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I either don't tell them or I just look like I'm batshit crazy. So I go, and my whole intention was to figure out, like, do I leave this job or not? I went muscle testing for the first time and never looked back. The
answer was every time. Right?
Yeah, it's such a cool thing. And I teach it to people all the time now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is a way, like, if you don't trust your intuition, yep. I hear people all the time say, I don't have intuition. Like,
everyone,
you do.
Has
it. You just haven't listened to it for a long time.
Do.
So you don't know what it sounds like, right?
Yep.
And so, and I still do it to this day. Sometimes I'm like, I like to test myself sometimes. I'm like, your intuition is saying this, but let me check.
Yeah.
So, and that was my answer. It was like, yeah, quit the job. Okay. So came back, quit the job, sold my house within 3 days of having it, 4 days of having it listed. I remember having a phone call with my father. I'm at work and he's like, I'm just really nervous about you having quit your job and you still have a mortgage to pay. What are you going to do if your house doesn't sell? I'm like, funny you should say that, Dad. Like,
yeah.
I'm literally getting ready to send over that I'm accepting this last offer that they put. And they ended up paying more than asking.
How
and
wild.
I just bought the house a year before.
It's like, and we so say, we finally start listening, right? And then it's like stuff just starts working out, even though it's not always easy. I mean, gosh, you had to leave your house. Like, that's not an easy transition to make in life, but we have to be open to allowing the old to go out so that what we're actually wanting can come in. And it's that in-between time that is scary and hard, but we've got to be willing to lean into it. Otherwise, we just stay stuck and we keep just picking at the wound, wanting it to heal. It's like that definition of insanity, right? Same thing over and over again. Wanting a different result, and it can't, it's not possible. We have to be willing to take those risks, those chances, follow that guidance. And I love this in your story because it's like, yeah, I did. And look what happened. That house sold within days because the universe had your back with it. You were finally operating from alignment and listening to your inner guidance.
Yep. And it's just so like, has it been like that the whole time since then? No, it's not always that easy, right? It's like you said, like they give you the pebbles at first and then it's rocks. And then I love that analogy because it's perfect. It's exactly.
Yeah. Like I'm just going to bust this window down with some bricks.
And it hit me in the head on the way. Right?
Pretty much.
So yeah. And then fast forward a few years. So I just like really dive into my spirituality and really dive into like the development of from learning, like, I think I've learned 4 different modalities of energy healing, learning how to, like, intuitively walk and guide. I can intuitively walk and guide people through things that sometimes, even so to this day, when it happens, I'm like, afterwards, I'll message my business partner and be like, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, it's called what channeling.
Exactly. And it happens all the time. And it's like, it's so interesting, too, because you take, so what we do is we take, like, the beautiful, like, process structure, the masculine piece of the business, which is where we learned and honed and manufactured with the leadership, with the embodiment of the self. And we like to call it leader and self, but with that piece of it, sometimes people are like, well, I don't have a team. Like I don't lead people. And my favorite thing is to be like, well, just because you don't have a team doesn't mean you don't lead anyone. Yeah, exactly. You lead yourself every single day. Yep. So we've taken those 2 pieces and we've married them so beautifully together that it's funny when people ask us like, well, what's your framework? What's your process look like? And I'm just like, how do you explain some of these like spiritual, you know what I mean? It's like, well, you know, we teach body-based practices and we teach you how to listen to your body. And oh, by the way, your business is a consciousness. Your business has a consciousness.
Yes.
And if you, and it's just like operating with another person, if your business and you are out of alignment, things aren't going to work. So you have to learn to communicate with each other and listen to each other.
Yes.
And so for a while, I actually had a practice where I was like tuning into the business. And I was speaking directly to the business.
I love that.
And it was just like, I'm like, hey, what do you need from me today? And some days it's like nothing. I just need you to tune into it. Right? Like I just need you to see me. What's one of the biggest things that's like the problem with our society, right? We just want people to see us.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because as you're saying, like you were able to take this knowledge that you had from honestly this toxic environment, but you were able to learn that masculine structure that worked really well, was very efficient for business. I mean, from what we talked about before we hopped on here and I was learning more about your background, you said that you were in leadership over, what was it, like 1,500 people? I mean, or
1,200.
1,200. So yeah, like close, right? So these were large organizations. So they had to have practices in place for efficiency and to make sure that things were effective. And so being able to at least take that and move it over into this feminine space that is our business, it's like the marriage of these 2 components where we say like the yin and the yang, we have to have masculine energy in our businesses. And we have to allow ourselves to have the feminine energy in our businesses because the masculine is that framework. It's that part of the business that provides the support, the provision, the protection, the security, like we have to have that. And this is where I've seen personally, and tell me if you've seen this too, when you start working with clients who are more intuitive, who are more in a like high vibe, you know, operating in these realms, it's that structure aspect that they haven't really quite been able to put their fingers on. And this is the place where they're kind of not seeing the growth, the income, all of that kind of stuff starting to happen in their business. So tell me, like, what are some of the most common revenue gaps you see in women's businesses? Like where, or in intuitive people's businesses? Because I know you had said before that you do work with the masculine and the feminine. So where do you find those gaps are mostly happening in these types of businesses because they don't have the frameworks?
So the biggest gap that we see, like first and foremost, is with the worthiness, right? Because when we are when we're working for a company, they tell you what you want, right? They tell you every single week, 2 weeks, whatever your pay schedule is, exactly what you want. And every time you get a pay increase, they tell you what you're not, right?
Wow.
They tell you what you have to do to get exactly what you're worth to them. And then when you step outside of that, you're like, well, what am I worth?
Wow. Right? Yeah.
So we have some really awesome exercises that we love to take people through. And I'll just give you a quick one really, really fast.
Yeah. Story,
where we have them write down, like write down every single thing that you do, every piece of you that you bring to the table, right? That's a popular phrase people love to use.
Sure.
So what is it? And it's like, but we want everything. We want, like, are you a sister? Are you a mother? Do you hold space for people? Do you garden? Like, what are literally all that do you breathe? What are all of the things that you do?
Do you gotta cook? I'm sure, because, like, what's every single bit of value? Yeah. And how often do we not think about this?
All the time.
Especially as women. It's like, we just feel like we really don't have value at all because we have been taught that we're supposed to operate within a masculine world that's not built for us. It's built for men because men have that 24-hour cycle. They're the same every day. We're different for 28 days, you know? And so we're made to feel like we're an inconvenience to even be in society. And so we often question our sense of worth because we're made to feel that we don't really have any.
Yeah. And so even looking at things, and also within society, it's like, unless you can, let's say, like, I've produced this pen, right? I can produce a pen and the pen is worth $2, but I can give you intuitive guidance. What's that worth? Put a price on it. A lot of times we don't know how to put a price on it because there's some things that are priceless.
Right.
And so if you've got all of these priceless things that you bring to your business on your list, like, do your prices reflect that? Right. This is one of the first things that we like to do with people.
Yeah.
It depends on if they're ready for that. Right. Because sometimes people are not ready to look at something like that.
Yeah.
Another thing that we see with the intuitive based businesses and the very like spiritual people, we had a woman who is, she's one of my good friends. We met at an ayahuasca retreat. So she is a holistic doctor. Like, she was in the fire department. She worked for the Chicago Fire Department.
Wow.
Retired. And her transition, like, she's been doing all of the spiritual things for decades, right?
Yeah.
But now the transition, and she's a holistic doctor. Like, cool. She's gone to school. She's gone to the doctor. And she's like, I have this piece and I have this piece and I have this. And she's like, I don't know. Like, this is what I want to offer. But she's got, like, all of these pieces, right? And she's like, this is what I want to offer. And we're like, no, this is what you get to offer.
Right.
So we can take a look at everything holistically that you have. Like, there are some people, like, she has talents and skills and abilities that she's like, well, I have this thing, but I have no idea how it fits in. And I'm like, oh, honey, it fits. Like, it fits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just show you how it fits. So that's like one of the beautiful things my business partner and I do is, and actually the two things that stuck out the most when I did the referral interview with her afterwards, was she was like, well, you gave me confidence. And I'm like, what? Like, you didn't need confidence, right? But she's like, but you gave me so much confidence in myself, knowing these things.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, she was like, it was also, I felt like I was sitting inside the Lego house and you were just outside, like picking up the pieces and handing them to me because I couldn't see what I needed to finish building.
Yes. Yes. And this is exactly why so often we need that outside perspective because we're too in it. It's like we're inside the cyclone and we can't see outside of it. We can't see all of these components. And it's often I see this as well, where it's like they take their knowledge for granted in a way where they're like, nobody wants to know about that. Nobody cares that I know that, or everyone knows that. It's like, no, they don't. They don't know that. They like, this knowledge is amazing. You have so much experience. You have so much to offer, and people don't see it because they're too close to it. So having that person or two people even that can help look at all of those little pieces and put them together in a way that really suits and highlights someone. This is what I refer to I talk about it all the time, and this is probably something that you encourage, where I say the signature offer, right? You have to have this thing, and we can put all of these magical pieces of ourselves into this container. But until we have this and understand what it is that we offer and what we have, we're kind of in like out in the middle of a lake without a paddle. You know, we're just kind of drifting around. Like, I don't know what I do or what I offer. So having that specific framework for what we do so that we can actually talk about it and understand it and understand the result, how it works, when it works, why it works, that builds that confidence within us so that we start feeling more confident showing up. Is this what you're seeing too with your clients?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other really interesting thing is like some people are already doing these things that like ends up being the offer, right? They're already doing them, yes, or they've been doing them for free, right? For free. And a big thing that we see with the spiritual based businesses or people that are running businesses that are very spiritual people,
yeah,
is I can't charge for my services, or I can't charge more for my services.
I call it the healer hoe paradigm, because it's like we feel like we got to just give it all away, right?
Yeah, no, I love that. It's true, and it's true.
Yeah,
I love to encourage and invite people to think like, okay, there's a lot of talk about like the 3D, the 4D, the 5D. Right? We're in 3D and we're going to 5D. Are we there yet? Nope. Okay. Once we get there and money is no longer a thing that runs and governs our society in the way that we live,
yeah,
do all of your shit for free, right?
Yeah.
But we're not there, right? You live and operate in a society where there has to be some sort of reciprocity. And the reciprocity we typically use and operate, you cannot go to the store and buy a loaf of bread and say, I will give you an intuitive reading. I will give you whatever the service is, right, that I do,
sure,
in exchange, sure, for this loaf of bread. Currently, we're not there. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's where it starts, right? Like, we're currently not there. Like, I love that we're trying to operate outside of the programming, the paradigms in the society that does clearly work, but we're still in transition. So that's what we help people do, is like transition kind of more into, how can I work within this structure in a way that feels good to me?
Yeah. What would you tell someone like right now who is resonating with that, where they're feeling, you know, I can't charge for this, or I shouldn't charge for this, or I feel afraid to even try to charge for this because I don't know its value. What would be something that you would tell them?
So I would tell them, like, let's start somewhere small, right? Like, if you currently don't have a price that you charge, and you're still, let's say you're still in a 9-to-5, but you're trying to transition out, you're trying to build, mm-hmm, a business before you do it, because a lot of people do this.
Yes.
Like, what's your hourly rate at work? Charge your currently hourly rate for what you're doing.
I love that.
Or if the thing that you're doing, let's say it's going to take the service would encapsulate 3 hours. Okay. What's 3 hours worth of your time that your employer is telling you? And then if you instantly are like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Why doesn't it feel good? Does it not feel good because you currently feel undervalued in the role that you're in?
Mm.
You feel undervalued, so you're feeling like you're underpaid? Then up it.
Yeah.
Not a lot, right? Because that's the thing too, is we can have that disconnect. Like, let's say we're charging $50. You're not going to go from 50 to 300. Sometimes it's good for people and they can embody that. But if you can't embody that, then we play the game, right? We gradually work up and we say, okay, 50. How does 75 feel in your body? Exactly. And then we just kind of look at the body and like, are we starting to cave in? Or are you starting? I have a pretty good
point. Yeah.
Like internally.
Yep.
You can still feel internally, are you in alignment? Like, if your guts feel like they're starting to twist, you're no longer in alignment. So maybe 50 to 75 is not it. Maybe it's 60. And you're like, okay, yeah, I could do 60. I could do 60. So that's something that you can do with yourself and just play with it. Make it fun and play with it, because we're winning. We get to have fun. We get to make business easy, and we get to make it fun, because it's our beautiful gift in the world, is having that childlike wonder, this feminine flow, and getting to make things fun and easy for people.
Yeah, like to be in that play, to be in that flow. Because again, you know, it is important to have the framework, the business aspect that's masculine, and then really being able to embody the feminine because we have that framework set up. So why don't you tell me a little bit about how you've seen, by creating the proper framework on the back end, how it's helping your clients and helping those who are more intuitive, whose energy is really precious, right? Like how that's helping them to stay out of burnout and to feel more passionate and excited to be able to just show up in their business where it doesn't have that like overwhelming feeling.
So this is actually, I'm going to give you my personal experience with this, because I just a couple of weeks ago went through this where I was like, I don't know that the business lights me up anymore, right? I don't know if this is what I still want to do anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to take an entire week where I step away and I examine. And I was like, I'm not saying I'm not coming back, but I'm not saying I'm coming back. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I was like, I feel that I'll be back. I feel that I'll be back, but there will be changes that I'll have to make.
Yeah.
And so I took that step. And what it was is the business wasn't feeling fun. And the business wasn't feeling fun because it had changed and evolved more back into the masculine paradigm of I'm working 8 to 10 hours a day. I'm a projector. If anyone knows human design, like projectors weren't built like that. So it can't do it, right? Like we have to have rest spaces.
Yes.
And we have to have,
I think, phases. I'm one too. I'm pretty sure I'm a projector too. And I'm like, I have to have, like I can run, but then it's like, whoa, like I've got to take that time.
And manifestors have this too. They get what they call, like my business partner is a manifestor and she'll be in like the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I love you, but I don't sprint. Right. So you really have to learn like what works for you and what doesn't. And when you start to get out of alignment in your business, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel burnt out. You're going to feel like, and it's like, I'm not working the kind of hours that I used to work in manufacturing, but still I'm feeling burnt out. I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, I got the Sunday scaries one time. What is this?
Oh yeah.
Like, business, right?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? I need to take a break. Right? And just like you said earlier, like as women, we go through these phases, we go through cycles. You literally go through every single phase of the year within a month and you do it every month.
Yeah.
Right?
And so
not even counting astrology, right? We're not even.
It's interesting though that you're saying that you needed to take that time to reevaluate, because that's actually what we're meant to do during our menstrual cycle. Is we're supposed to take that time to really, what's been working, what's not working. It's winter. It's like, now that all the leaves are down and I can see everything clearly, what do I need to do to change? And we'll really feel it. We will really feel it during that time. It's been interesting. I've been working with one of my clients on that whole like cycle syncing and the embodiment stuff. And we've been kind of nerding out about it, talking about how we've realized that we naturally, we're leaning into these different things during those parts of our cycle, but we weren't conscious of why or what was going on. But now that we are aware, it's fun to play in that, because we're like, okay, cool. You know, this is what's going on. Now it's, you know, follicular, it's springtime. Now I'm going to get all those ideas and all the juices flowing. So understanding that we do pivot and change, and we'll have those times like fall, where it's that week leading up to our period and things feel a little heavier. We don't have as much resilience because that estrogen is down and progesterone's trying to peak, and we're feeling a little bit more anxious and we're like, hey, don't have as much in me right now. Like those are all important things to become aware of, because we can think, maybe I am just losing my fire. Maybe I am just burning out, when in actuality, progesterone's just saying, honey, I need you to take a break so that I can get your uterine lining out. It maybe not be that big of a deal, but because we're not aware of these things, it can feel really wild when we go through these ups and these downs. We're like, geez, am I like bipolar or something? Like, why am I so excited about my business? And then all of a sudden I'm like, it's not working. Nothing's working.
Yeah.
When we can see it from that hormonal perspective, it makes it a little bit easier to move through. And when we can honor that, especially as business owners, because we are in charge and we get to pick how we show up and we choose to have fun and play with that, it really can shift us out of this hustle and grind and put us more into this aspect of play and flow and fun. And that honestly, I feel makes us better at what we do because we can up better and know when to schedule certain things because we're going to be more on. And then others, it's like, not going to be the best time for me. And that's okay too.
And it's okay. Like if you're not there yet where you're like, I'm not really tracking my cycle versus like my schedule, right? With my calendar. If you're not there yet, just like start to take notice.
Yes.
And if you have something that's scheduled during winter or even leading up and you're not doing it, because we're all different too, even within the phases, we're all different.
Yeah.
And so like my first, I would say the day before and the first 1 to 2 days of my shed, I'm like, I'm not with it. Right. Yep. I'm like, nope. I need to work slower. I need to move slower. I need to listen to my body.
Yep.
And then maybe by day three, I'm like ready to go. And I feel normal again. Right. Yes. Even though I'm still shedding, I feel normal. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
So my recommendation to people too is like, it's okay to say no. And it's okay to reach out to people and be like, hey, I need to reschedule. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to tell them why. You don't owe anyone anything. That's I've realized this is one of my pet peeves lately.
You need to explain yourself.
It happened in dating. Someone was like, I was like, I am not feeling it. Like, there's too many red flags for me. Too many things that aren't in alignment.
Yeah. So I'm not going to make red flags to go to the theme park,
and
right?
Like, well, you owe me an explanation. And I was like, oh, I don't owe you.
There is your next red flag.
I don't owe you anything.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh.
So, but we get to do that in business too.
Yes.
We get to say
leadership.
Hey, exactly. And leading yourself. Like, I need to take a step back. I need to reschedule. That's all you have to say is I need to reschedule. Let me know if this availability works for you.
Yeah.
Or send me availability of this week that works for you. You get to be clear. You get to be direct, but you also get to advocate for your needs.
Yes, which is an important thing for us to do, especially as business women, because we do have to step up into that leadership. And I know that that's something that you really specialize in your field, because you were in leadership and you were in a position where you had to lead men a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's not the easiest thing as a woman to lead men. All of that playing out in your business and in other people's businesses. Where are you seeing this almost like, it's like this program for women to follow and to wait for permission? It was like you said with jobs, right? Your employer gives you a sense of worth. They tell you what you're worth. They tell you what to do, when to do it. What I see a lot of times when I work with new clients and they're making that transition into their business, the schedule, the making time for their business, the not telling people no and saying, I'm working now. And then they're like, no, I didn't get that done. Or I didn't, you know, because there isn't that like outside entity telling them, you need to do this now. I need it from you at this point. And I'll hear this a lot where women will say, if I was working for someone else and had to do all this stuff, I would be so good. But because it's for me, I'm having a really hard time. I'm struggling. So what would you tell them from a leadership perspective, especially like we had said before, maybe you don't have a huge team, but we have to start by leading ourselves. How would you encourage them to start doing that?
So we actually have a client that we're doing this with right now. She's beautiful. She's amazing. I love her so much. And so what we've done, so we did this. It's so funny. You probably see this in your business where when we implement something ourselves within our business, we either then get a client that needs the same thing or the clients that we're working with have the same need.
Yes. Yes.
Let me show you.
Yes. So interesting.
So what we did is like, I'm like, okay, well, let me create like a weekly schedule, like task list, right? For myself. And then let me break it down daily for myself. Because I only work in my leadership business 4 to 5 hours a day.
That's me too.
4 to 5 hours a day.
Me too.
4 days a week. Not 5. 4. Only 4.
I'm still five, but I want to get to four.
This was one day where it's just for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was part of this reset that I just did recently. I was like, okay, this isn't working. So what works? And I was feeling intuitively into what really is going to work for me. And so I was like, okay. I told my business partner, she's a manifester, I'm a predictor, and she can go. And I'm like, nope. And like, so this is what works for me. And then I got to do some forgiveness work around like the comparison. I was like, you don't move as fast as she does. You don't like all of these things, right? All these stories that came up. But so I created myself a daily checklist and that incorporated into it. Cause I'm like, I want to do all the things. I want to do all the spiritual things, right? Like your meditation, your gratitude practice, your nature walk, your workout, like all of these things.
Yeah.
Even getting in like an hour worth of like mindset or some type of learning that feels good to me because but learning about marketing is not something that I do.
Yeah.
Like learning about certain things, I'm like, because everything you're trying to teach me doesn't feel good to my soul. It doesn't speak to my soul. So I'm not doing it. I'm not even gonna look at it. And so it's like, what's that 1 hour of learning that feels good to me that I can incorporate into my morning or 20 minutes, whatever it looks like for you, right?
Yeah.
And so I built out a checklist that incorporates, we'll call it the Julie morning.
Love it.
The business afternoon. Okay. And so every single day, what do I do? And then I also looked at like, what am I getting done because they're super easy or I don't have resistance to these tasks? And then what are the tasks that I'm like, I picked up my phone 75 times to check Instagram, even though there's nothing new on it.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so week number one, give yourself grace. And so I gave myself grace. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the first week. It's like counting macros if you've ever done it.
Oh, yeah.
The first week, you just try to see where you're at.
Yeah, and right? You're like, dang, everything has so many carbs.
It's fat for
what?
Me.
What? Kale like, has carbs? Like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like the first week is information.
Yes.
And if you look at it as information, you don't beat yourself up. You're like, okay.
Yeah. So it's just
really
feedback.
Don't like doing... It's just feedback.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, feedback. It doesn't feel good to do this thing. So then after like the second day, I'm like, okay, since I'm not really getting that task 100% complete every day, let me start with that the first time the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with it. And I'm like, instead of me breaking this one thing out over 4 days, I'm just going to hammer it all out. Because if I sit down and get into it, it's like, what do they say? The hardest part is just getting started.
Yep.
And I recently heard someone say, like, don't think about, like, I have to write the entire Facebook post or I want to write the entire chapter of my book.
Yeah.
Write the first sentence. Just the first sentence.
Yeah.
Do you feel that difference? Between, oh my gosh, I have to write an entire chapter to, I just have to write one sentence.
Yeah.
It feels so much better. It feels so much lighter. The expectation isn't there. The pressure isn't there.
Right.
So then I really got to learn over the time, like what works, what really speaks to my soul with creating this daily schedule that I like. And by the way, as we go through phases in our cycle, we go through other larger phases in our life too.
Sure.
So what schedule works for me right now in 2 months might not work for me.
Right.
That's okay. So I get to change it as I change and grow.
Yes.
Kind of like for 3 months, I'm all about meditation twice a day, every day. And I'll be like, to do it twice a day. I can just do it once a day.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't have to do it at all. 3 weeks go by and I'm like,
uh-oh.
Everything feels so like just blah. Oh, because you're not meditating, girl. That's why. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just getting really, really curious about what are the things that you're doing in your business that feel good and what do you like? And oh, by the way, again, interject something that's play. This is what we did with a client this morning. It's like, okay. Here's your time block of doing something that you really want to do. Oh, she loves to play piano, but she's not making time to do it. Yeah, I know, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm like, do it.
Can you teach me?
Right?
Right?
Oh my gosh, I took it as a kid and I'm like, I don't think I could play chopsticks anymore.
And so she's like, I'm not making the time to do it. And she's like, I'm like, so it doesn't have to be that specifically. And it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be like, and it can be one day a week, right? Like for me, I also learned that I have to build small habits over time. So with working out, like I work out 3 days a week. I'm not doing 5. I'm not doing 7. I'm not doing a 45-minute super difficult workout either, because if I'm super sore the next day, I'm quitting.
We have to do what works for us and accept that about ourselves. There's so much judgment.
Currently prepping for a bodybuilding competition, right? Like, we couldn't be more than So again, you just have to learn and cultivate what works for you. And really, like, in those daily schedules. And then, so in the week, right? If you're wanting to get like X number of tasks done, like overarching, I want to create 3 videos this week for content. That's one of my goals. And so I don't schedule it on a specific day, and I just feel into my flow.
Yes.
Because I don't schedule in creativity. I can't do it. I'm not one of those people. This is my timeline to do content.
No.
So I'm like, okay, here's my daily task, right? Here's my overarching weekly task that I want to do. And then I feel into the day. And I'm like, ooh, today feels like a really good day. Do I create 3 videos? No, I probably create 5 because I'm feeling the flow and the creativity, right?
Probably during ovulation too, right?
I haven't actually looked.
That's when we got that testosterone coming in and we're like, oh, I'm powerful. I got this.
Yeah. So that's something that it's super, super helpful for people, because it's like, okay, you're working for yourself, yes, but you're also working for yourself. Like, how beautiful is this? Like, you're doing something probably no one else in your family is doing.
Probably.
So while you're breaking generational curses and you're working on your own self-worth, and you're looking at, like, how do I get more in touch with my feminine, and how do I get more in touch with my cycle and the cycles and the phases of the moon and the planets, and what really speaks to me as a soul and what really lights me up? Like, how do I flow with this? Because some of us are flow and some of us aren't. If you look at human design, there's the 4 arrows, right, on the chart. All 4 of mine go to, I think it's to the right, which is 100% flow. I'm like, this makes so many things in my life make so much sense.
I know like a little bit of human design, but not a ton of it. It's just not something like a place that I have been called to be really saturated in, but I see like the value and the benefit of it. And I find it really interesting when people talk about it and bring it to the table, because it's valid. I mean, just like when we see stuff with astrology and different things like that, it's like, God, it's almost spooky how on they are. But it's valuable, because the more we can learn about ourselves and operate in a way that feels really aligned to us, that's like the magic right there. And I think that that's part of why our society is actually designed to make us feel like we have to compare ourselves all the time, especially to men, which we're not men. Then we have to compare ourselves to women, who all operate differently. We all have different cycles. We all have different hormones, all have different things going on within our body. Some have estrogen dominance, some don't have it. Some are, you know, younger, some are older. You know, it's like we're just all different. So allowing ourselves to step out of that comparison and pull out of what I refer to as the patriarchal matrix.
Oh, I love it.
Allow ourselves to say, who am I as an individual? What do I need? And I can learn from all of these different people. I can learn from all of these different strategies, and I can start trying different things until I find what works for me. And that's enough. I think that concept of the comparison is, I don't like going too much into like, oh, we're so oppressed as women. But I think there's an intention behind it to keep women suppressed and feeling like they're not good enough and not capable enough, because there's a group of people that know women are very powerful, especially
the fucking magic.
Yes.
We are the magic.
We are. So when we're really in tune and connected to that within ourselves, like, look out. But that's why we're being trained and taught, like you need a man, or you need this, or you're not good enough because you're like this and they're like that. It's like all that noise. We got to figure out a way to like the horse blinders, right? And figure out, who am I? Where is my magic? Just like figuring out that offer and how I take all my expertise, like you were saying, and piece it together. Like, makes me unique. There is no comparison. There is no competition. Everybody has a unique way of expressing themselves. And when we're able to fully show up in that, we will then attract those that we're meant to serve. But it's like being in that authentic energy, being in our true power, that's when we radiate that frequency that calls in our dream clients, our dream partner, our soulmate friends, all of that. So it's like we need to really honor who we are. Because again, just like what we're doing here today on this podcast, you and I do very similar things, but people who are going to want to work with you are going to be different than people who are going to want to work with 100%. Me. And there are thousands of people out there who need support. Like there, we can only all do but so much. So the more that we can recognize where each of us can stand in our power and allow ourselves to be that reflection of that and be the beacon and just support others in the way that we're meant to, that's when everything, it just feels good and it just feels aligned. And then we're not feeling burnt out and not good enough and blech, all of that.
And so that's a perfect, beautiful point that you make, right? Like our businesses are very similar. But for those who can feel energy, I'm inviting you to feel into the differences in our energy because it's very, very different.
It's very different.
Very, very different. And the way that we lead and the way that we come from spaces is very, very different too. Yep. So think about like everything that's happened to you in your past. All of this, people love to talk about trauma these days, right? We love to talk about everything that's trauma. Yes, there is trauma. It does happen. Sure. It doesn't have to be our story.
Correct.
But think about this. So I have a brother who's 3 years older than me. We have the exact same parents. We could not be any more different. Like we couldn't. Right? Yeah. Same environment growing up. Presumably same or similar, a lot of similar lived experiences, but his perception and my perception are completely different.
Right.
Right. And so that's also the gift that we get to take into our business that we get to take in. And it doesn't matter if you are we'll take Reiki, for example. Lots of people study Reiki. Lots of people practice Reiki. Lots of people offer this to clients, right?
Yeah.
You could have five Reiki practitioners we could have five really, like literally in front of us right now.
Yeah.
Every single one of them does their practice differently.
Correct.
Even if they learn from the same person, right?
Yes.
Even if they're coming from the same lineage within Reiki, they each do it differently.
Yes.
Because we all have our own brand and we all have our own flavor.
Yes.
So that's where like this thing about comparison, it kills me when people talk about comparison and like competition and wanting to be the best and all of this and da-da-da. And it's like, or when people, and I know people love to like have contests and they give away things and that's great. But some people thrive on it, right? Some people love it. They're like, I got a little thing, right? And I'm like,
It's more masculine though.
It is. But if it's meant for me, it's never going to pass me. And if it's meant for me, it's going to come to me.
Right? Exactly.
It's meant to. But we all, just back to this individuality, like we're all different. We all offer different things. We're all different phases, stages, different lived experiences. So we're going to operate in whatever space we're in differently from everybody else. If my business partner and I were having two separate businesses, night and day, right? Like we are night and day, even though we have very similar backgrounds and we have the same degree. We have a lot of similar experiences.
Yeah.
We do a lot of similarly intuitive things because we'll be on calls and like I'll say something and then she'll say something similar, but with her twist to it, right? Her perspective, her guidance, her gift, her belief, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're thinking about your business, like, oh my gosh, it's so saturated. There are 9 billion people on this planet. Nothing is saturated.
I know. It's like that is saturated. Such, I know. And so that is a message from both of us who are here, like co-creating, who are in similar realms that are both saying like, no, that needs to get out of people's head. This it's saturated. It's this and that. Things are shifting so much with the paradigm and more women are waking up to their power. They're learning more about their hormones. And, you know, there's finally studies being done on women. They used to all be done on men. Finally, it was like in the last 10 years that kind of stuff started to be like having actual women in research studies. to learn about us. Like that's crazy. So it's like there is a huge awakening and surge of women who are like, I do have a lot to offer. I am powerful. I do have a voice. I'm tired of being oppressed. I got to get rid of this deadbeat. How do I start making my own money? How do I, you know, like, every single day, more and more of them are popping up and coming out of the woodwork, and they need help. They need support. And again, we can only help with so many people. I mean,
capacity.
There's a level, right? Like, even if we have, say, like a group mastermind or something, there's a capacity of the quality of service that we can all provide, period. Yeah. So why are we going to sit there and be like, oh, well, no, like there's so many people doing this. I promise you there are more people who need it than there are people doing it.
100%. And talk about holding space, right? Like if you're having a group container and you're holding space for individuals, like you can only hold a certain amount of space. It's like one thing I like to say is if you're like getting advice from someone or someone is giving you information, whether it's an intuitive download, paneled information, or lived experience, they're coming at it from their lens.
Yes.
So whatever blockages they have or whatever stories and programming they have, it's also coming through that lens as well, right? And so this goes to the holding space. Maybe I only hold space for 5 people because I want an intimate container.
Correct.
Maybe I can hold space for 75 people because I've grown my capacity and that feels good to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's not going to be the same 75. It's probably not going to be the same 75 or 35 or however many people for me as it would be for you.
Exactly.
Because again, we're very, very different.
Exactly.
Right? And like we're calling to us the people that are meant to work with us.
Exactly.
We've got something. Like how many people have been in workshops, classes, other masterminds, programs? I was talking about going to ayahuasca, right? Like you see threads and you see how we all have, you'll see common threads, right?
Yes.
And the people who have the common threads, they're naturally drawn to each other.
Yes. Yeah. I always say like, as we are going through our like coaching and leadership journey and we are guiding others, we probably find that those that are attracted to us are a past version of us. Like we see ourselves in them and we're like, girl, I get you. Like, I know. And so it's so interesting. We all have unique paths. Mm-hmm. So it just goes into that where it's like there's not one specific way that's the right way. I always say this to my daughter. I'm a single mom. And so, that's a whole thing in and of itself. But one of the things I say to her is there's more than one way to do something right. And that's because different. So it's like, maybe I'm going to clean up a mess differently than someone else. As long as the mess gets cleaned up, maybe I'm going to write a book differently with a different strategy that someone else does. But both books got written, right? So it's like, it doesn't, there's not this like, it's this way or this way. And so working with different people also learning different methods, because someone might come into a container with me and realize, Nancy, the way that you're teaching this or this structure or this framework, it's not working for me. And so I have to be willing to look at that and either realize I can't help this person or I have to accept what I'm teaching them is not the right fit and I need to help them find something that works for them in the way that they need to operate. So it's like there's so many different things in play. And for us, networking and connecting with one another, it only benefits everyone else because, and all of us really, like the whole collective of the feminine. Because if we're learning, ooh, okay, yeah, we've started this, we've gone as far as we can. That's happened before. I've had to let clients go because I'm like, we have gone as far as we can. Together. We hit a block. So being able to know, you know what, I think Julie would be able to help you on your next steps. I think that she might be a better fit for you. Because it's all about helping the feminine rise. And so by doing our best in our own capacity, we do that, and accepting our own limitations as well. Like, that's part of being human.
And that's also a beautiful opportunity for so many things, right? For even more co-creation.
Yes.
But it's for then for like, as someone, like you said, if you've got someone who are like, we're not a good fit to work together, or the journey stops here because like, this is where we're at.
Yeah.
And you need something that's at a different level that I can't provide or serve you with, or I would be doing you an injustice, right? And so it's also an opportunity as a leader and as a business owner to say, oh, that's really interesting. Is that because I have a block in myself? Is that because I got to learn something else or do something differently? Or is this just my zone of genius and this is where I'm sticking right now? And then maybe in 3 years it's different. Changes, right?
Yeah.
So it's all a beautiful learning experience and opportunity. But I love that piece about saying like, okay, like maybe now this is your next person. This is the next evolution. Feel into that, right? And like see if this person really is a good fit. And I love doing that too. Like we had someone reach out a couple of weeks ago. They entered in their information to book a call, but didn't book a call. And so I reached out to them personally and I'm like, hey, like we have the automation set up, right?
Sure.
But I wanted to reach out personally and be like, hey, I saw that you wanted to book a call, but you didn't. Like, is there questions that you have or something that I could answer for you? I'd love to hop on a quick call with you. And they made the assumption that just starting out in their business, they couldn't afford to work with us. And so in the language and in their email, they're like, yeah, I have no money coming in right now, brand new business. I have no money to invest. I think that your prices are too high for me. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure we don't have prices listed anyway because we do some custom work.
Yep. I'm like, what? It's like that, yeah.
And then so I reached back and I'm like, hey, totally cool. Like, I would love to hop on a call with you and see like if there's, are there resources that I can offer you?
Sure, yeah.
That would help you with where you're at. Maybe someone else, like I could help you with networking. Networking is huge, right?
Yeah.
Like I could potentially provide this person with like, here's the networking opportunities that I use. Here's things that have worked and things like available to all the information, right?
Yes.
And that's the other thing too, is women give so beautifully and so freely. And it's also like, we get to do that from this space of alignment. Does it feel good for us to be doing this? Or if it didn't feel good for me to reach out to her and say, hey, I would still love to hop on a call for you and see if there's anything else that I can support you with, even if it's not working with us, right?
Yeah.
And if it didn't feel good, I wouldn't have done it. And it's interesting too, because some people may see that as, oh, they're just trying to get me on a call or this, the other.
Well, that's what they're used to. That's the energy. Exactly. That's the intention that they're used to. And it's interesting because as you're talking, I'm thinking even more about, you know, what if we do get on a call with someone and we learn they can't afford our services, but we've made a connection with someone who is starting out with their coaching. We know they could absolutely help this person get started, help them, like set them off on the right like footing. And we can refer them and say, hey, you know, at this time, it doesn't seem aligned. I'd love to work with you in the future, but, you know, so-and-so, she's currently taking on clients and I know that she does have a lower starting price point. Like that's something beautiful that we can do as well, because as we're growing, again, like we said, we all have a capacity. Like there will be a point where we're not taking on any new clients because we're just at capacity and people just want to continue to work with us.
Yeah.
So that will happen. And so we need to build a network so that we can still support these other women and be able to guide them in places that they can get what they need so that they can rise and be empowered. It's an important
100%.
Thing. So having said that, if people are feeling really called to your energy and feel like that connection with you, you and I talked about it, that you kind of put together a little something special for the listeners here, if they felt that call, can you tell us a little bit about what you put together?
Yeah. So what we create, and literally it was something special for you because we're like, oh, well, what should we do? Like the offer that we see a lot of clients where I'm like, it doesn't quite feel like it's full enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We're like, what if we came up with this 8-week where the first I don't want to say interview, that sounds weird, but the first meeting is, it's 90 minutes and we do kind of this deep dive into where you're at now, what you have going on. So this is like the structure piece of it, right? So where you're at, what you've got going on.
Yeah.
And really seeing where we can put and pull in these pieces for you, and how can we help you structure things and flow in where you're at. And then from there, we move into once a week calls for the rest of the 8 weeks to support you in continuing. So for some people, it's very supportive just to do this first piece. And they're like, oh, I got this. Like, I can
do this,
right? And I'll come back when I need more support. But
what are those, the manifestors?
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's probably more the Manny Gens, but, or the generators.
That's what I am.
Like,
that's how,
right?
That's how I'm like, just tell me what to do and I'll go do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's beautiful and so perfect for some people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other people that like, and I used to be more of one of these people where I like, I need to see the vision. I need to see the details behind the vision. But then I need some support for when I run into the blocks, right? Or when things come up and it's feeling a little, like there's resistance and I don't know how to navigate this.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's where it's perfect that we can walk that journey with them, and we can do that for the rest of that container of the full 8 weeks, and just really support them in that and support them in. And again, like speaking back into what we've already talked about, like if they're like, oh yes, this 8 weeks, it feels perfectly aligned and beautiful and I love it. And we get 4 weeks in and you're just fucking crossing it. Like, we'll make an adjustment, right?
We'll make an adjustment.
Be like, that's all you need. I'm not going to charge you for more. You don't need more, right? Like, you crushed it in 4 weeks. Maybe you need more than 8 weeks. You're like, hey, I'd really love to work with you guys for 6 months. Like, whatever that looks like, because I know, and you've probably seen this too, is like where you're drawn to someone and to working with someone.
Yes.
And you go through phases where you're like, ooh, I love that I'm in your community and in your membership, but I feel like I might have to put the membership on hold for a little bit because I'm doing an internal deep dive.
Yes. Just like we go, it's ebbs and flows. We're in energy, and it doesn't mean that anything's bad or wrong. It just means that we're moving into a different season for a while, and that's fine too. So it sounds like you guys kind of put together a specific little container just to make it easy, you know, like, hey, let's do this. But if they want to customize something, could they hop on the phone with you and maybe just chat with you and just see like, hey, this is what I'm working with. And I love that because you're right. Sometimes like we don't know where someone is in their business. They might be brand new and it's like, oh, honey, 8 weeks is not going to be enough. But then sometimes they're in it. They've really got most stuff built out and they've got like the holes, like we're talking about, like where are the leaks? Where's the stuff? And we just need to go in and tweak and look at it. And so having that ability to have the flow and the flexibility, I think is really important. I've seen these containers where people lock people in, and it's like,
it doesn't serve them, right? Like, it's like it does more damage than good at that point, because then there's a hesitancy to try and work with someone again because you don't want to repeat that pattern. You don't want to repeat that. And it's like,
And I've been
there. Anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had when I first started my business, I had a terrible coaching experience and it was like, my gosh. So it made me really hesitant to find new mentorship. So I think having the situation where we're creating an environment where women feel safe, where they feel safe, because that to me is the most important thing. Understanding, I know for myself, we all have that flight or fight. Some of us automatically go into fight and some of us go into like flight or shut down, right? And when women are not feeling safe, they will either get combative and they feel like, I got to protect myself. And that's when, you know, we have very negative experiences with that client relationship, or they shut down and then they don't show up and they're not. So you're like, oh, you're paying for this, but you're not showing up. You're not applying this. You're kind of staying frozen. It's because they're not feeling safe. So if we've created an environment where they can feel safer, it's going to be much more productive and feel better for everyone. And that's what I want. And I can feel in your energy, that's what you want. It's like, what is best for this client?
Yeah.
It's not about just getting people in. I've seen this, and not to, I don't want to talk poorly, like if anyone in the industry, and I'm not going to specify, but I've seen like people that consider themselves like top in the industry, and they are trying to put people into programs and containers. And then you learn that person isn't even in there. It's like they have someone else running it, like a contribution coach or something. And it's like, you don't even get access to the person that you thought you
were. Whose energy you were drawn to, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, so I feel like that's another thing where it's like, all right, we got to make sure. So it sounds like if someone decides they want to work with you, they're actually going to get you.
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
They'll get both of us, actually. They'll get myself and my business partner because we do have a thing in tandem. So
that is so awesome.
It's always kind of like a 2-for-1.
I love
But then we're also so like so different.
Yes.
We can tackle that. And Emily is my business person. She loves to say, like, if you want the like super direct, like honesty, like sometimes a little in your face, like come to me, Emily. And she's like, but if you like the softer side and if you want more of the like, you know, she's like, it's Julie.
Hey, and you know what? We all need that.
Both.
Yes. We all need that. And that's something for me personally that has been a big part of my own journey where I have been more of that masculine, like, let's get it done. So I've had to work on my own feminine embodiment so I can show up in both for my clients, and not everybody can. So having access to different types of people within something can be really beneficial. So I love that you two have found this really beautiful pairing, that you're able to offer this to your clients and really give them what they need when they need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say for anyone that if it's like a hell yes in your body to work with us and to do this, like absolutely, we'd love to have that conversation. But for anyone who's hesitant, like I used to be this kind of person where I'm like, I'm still kind of like a lurker. Like I'll lurk on people's social media and I'll follow them forever.
Yeah.
And then something will happen. I'll be like, yep, now it's time, right?
But I'm so the same.
If it's not quite time, it's not quite time, you know, and sometimes you just got to feel people out. But I love questions and I love having open conversations with people.
So
like, you know, I'm looking for it. I want something, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure. It's like, it's a yes, but it's not like a yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
That, like still not knowing what our intuition feels like.
Yeah. But yeah, still reach out and like book a call and we can have that conversation and we can be very open, very honest. And that's what I love to do is create this open, honest, like container for people to, you probably have this too, where you'll have very random people that you've never met before tell you the most intimate personal details of their life within 5 minutes. And the first time it happened to me, I'm like, what just happened? Why did this happen? Right. And now people are like, I've never told anyone. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. It happens all the time.
Yes. It's such a compliment. And I love that invitation. We'll make sure that in this podcast episode that all your links are in the description. So if people want to follow you on Instagram or I'm not sure, do you have a YouTube or whatever it is that you have?
Yeah.
Make sure to include all those links and everything. And so we'll put the call link so they can chat with you. And then also for that special container that you put together, if someone's like, yep, this feels good, I'm going to just jump right in there. We can have that readily available. So we're coming to the end of this. I always try to keep it at around an hour, but I feel like you and I could just like,
we chat, should do this chat,
you know, but I want to ask, as I bring guests on here, especially as we're in the intuitive business space, I want to ask you one last question. And I want to know what you feel success looks like.
That's such a beautiful question. I love it so much. To me, success really feels like showing up perfectly aligned. It's when you get this feeling of like, I'm on fucking fire in the best way possible. Like, and everything on the outside, it could be burning down around, right? But that inner peace and that inner knowing and that just like, I'm here and I've got this. Like, throw whatever you want at me, right? But I've got this. Like, I know who I am here.
Yes.
That to me, that is success. Like, if you feel like, ooh, round two was a little rough, but like I'm ready for round four, like, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm centered, I'm grounded, and I've got this. It's like, that is success to me.
I love that. You know, because so many people put so much value on the amount of clients or money or this, that, and the other. And it's like, if we're not happy doing what we're doing, like, what's the point? And so I agree. I feel like success, a big part of that is the satisfaction and the knowing I am where I'm supposed to be, even if things haven't pieced together the way that I would like to see them. I'm there and I'm showing up here. And that's a powerful place to be.
It absolutely is.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so, so, so much for coming on here for this interview. I loved it. I thought it was so fun. And I'll make sure we'll share everything down below so everyone can get in touch with you. And yeah, I think we're...
Thank you so much. It's been such a beautiful experience.
Thank you. Awesome. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.